As I am recovering from my stroke a few weeks ago, we've appreciated Brother Jim filling in the pulpit in my absence, and didn't know what we were going to do today. I had planned to bring a short devotional, you know, a sermonette for Christianettes or something like that. I'm not sure what you call it. And then I went online and I noticed that one of our missionaries, Danny Sherman, from Puebla, Mexico, and now from Stillwater, Oklahoma. He's one of those now. He's an Okie. I don't know. But he was coming to town because of a relative who had back surgery. And so I said, oh, I'm so glad to hear. And he said, oh, what can I do to help? And so today, what he could do to help is to share his ministry and to share a message from the Word of God. Danny, why don't you come on up here? I think most everybody knows you, but if they don't, this is Brother Danny Sherman. God bless you, brother.
You want me to do this this style or do it Jewish style? Or
what, I mix. I have a stool that I sit behind usually.
However you want to do it.
Well, I just wanted to send greetings from my wife. She's with my sister. I just brought my sister home from the hospital yesterday. She had back surgery. She had pretty bad. They took a MRI of her back, and down at the bottom it was like this. It was horrible. It just looked horrible. And so, but Jenny sends greetings to everybody. And we were surprised to hear about Pastor Bob. That was a surprise. You seem so young and... He's not really that much older than I am, just a little bit. But anyway, I'm glad that you're here and that you'll probably be out running around in the not too distant future. But, well, we moved from Puebla, Mexico to Stillwater, Oklahoma. We in part. Because we are getting a little older, and we also were realizing that Aunt Carmen, it was getting to the point where she was just about to have a problem, and we felt like if we stayed in Puebla, we were going to have a problem because there she wouldn't have any kind of health insurance or coverage or anything, And just so that you understand, if you go into a private hospital in Puebla, it's pretty much costs the same as it would cost going into the medical center here. Maybe it might even be more there. And there it's a little different because, you know, there they put guards outside of the hospital door until you pay your bill. And you can't leave, you know, it's pretty horrible.
Probably the way it is here.
Yeah. But so we felt like, you know, she did become a US citizen years ago. She's from the Dominican Republic and she has Medicare, and we felt like, man, we better come to the US so we don't have major problems with that. So we came back, and then just a little bit later, she got a urinary infection, and she just couldn't get over it. She went into the hospital, and we were still staying in a hotel, waiting to get a house, and that she died there. In the hotel room, and it was a precious thing to be with her. We were with her for like 6.5 years. She had severe dementia. She was 97, and we very much thank God that we had that experience to be with her, and especially we got to share the gospel with her so many times. And even though she had dementia, trust that a few times that maybe she was clear enough to really get it. And so we're in Stillwater now. We're going to continue with the websites that we have and also reach out to Muslims at the university there. It's hard to break in to those circles, but we are praying. We're praying for that. And I wanted to just share a little bit about some of my favorite verses, and just thinking about that it's important, that it's worth it for us to finish well. It's worth it to live for God. There's so many things going on in the world that want to pull us into other things, but that it's worth it to finish well. It's worth it to live for God. And, you know, I was thinking that, you know, in the Bible, there's lots of examples of people who didn't finish well, and there's also examples of people who did finish well. And so I wanted to just share a few basic, this is really simple and basic, but just to share some ways that will help us to finish well. And this is as much for me as for anybody. And the first thing that I wanted to mention is that to keep a strong conviction concerning the sovereignty of God over all things. You know, I see this sovereign grace, you know. Well, it's important. And in Psalm 103:19, it says, "The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all." God is the sovereign Lord over all things, over all the universe. And it may seem like that just sounds so basic and simple, but I know that it took me a long time to really, for that to sink in, that God really is sovereign, that he is the sovereign Lord. I can remember, I had a Hebrew professor who would always, every class, he would say, he had an accent, you know, he was from an Asian country, and he would say, "God is in control." And he would say that every day. And after I heard it, you know, so many times, I started to think, you know what? God really is in control. He really, and it took me a while because I had heard that so many times, but it didn't really become part of me that until much later that God really is in control. And it says in Psalm 96:10, "Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity." The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. And so, basically, God is in control of everything. And it may be that we hear that a lot, but maybe not everyone has really, hasn't really sunk in. That God really is in control of everything, and I can rest in God's sovereignty, and I can be at peace. It doesn't matter what's happening in my life. God is in control, and I can trust him. And why don't we just, everybody, say with me, God is in control.
God is in control.
And I can trust him.
And I can trust him.
It's really true. I don't know why it took me so long. It was years after I became a believer that I really started to internalize that and to really believe it. and understand that, that God really is in control. And no matter what is happening in my life, no matter what the circumstances are, God really is in control. He really is. The second thing that I think is going to help us to finish well is to love God and to live in obedience to Him. Deuteronomy 6, 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Just to love God. To love Him. And John 14, 21. These are verses you probably all know well. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. I'm reading from the New American Standard. And in Acts 13:22, we have an example here of David. And after Saul got taken out, it says God raised up David to be their king, concerning whom he also testified and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will. And this is so encouraging for me because, you know, David did not live a sinless life, but yet he always was quick to come to God in repentance and to get on track. And so we can't live a sinless, perfect life. Jesus is the only one that did that. But we work with Muslims a lot, and Muslims, they require sinless perfection, and so you have to pray 5 times a day, every day, forever, for all your life, and if you miss one time, you're going to hell, and that's just the way it is, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that our God is so wonderful, and He loves us. But if we truly love God with all our heart, we're gonna live in obedience to Him. We're gonna live in obedience to Him, and we're gonna desire to do His will. And if we blow it, we're gonna be quick to come to God and say, "Hey, boy, I blew it. I want to get back on track. Help me to do this right." And that is a wonderful thing that we have such a wonderful God. And you know, if I really love God, I'm going to spend time with Him. I'm going to spend time with Him in the Word and prayer. And if I really love God, I'm going to live in obedience to Him. If I don't spend time with God, I'm not going to really have a clue about what I'm supposed to be doing. One time I was giving a conference with some pastors out in a rural, very rural area of Honduras. And so I think a lot of these guys, God bless them, they wanted to be a pastor, but they just hardly knew anything, and there was it came up one time in a meeting that somebody asked what's fornication and adultery and things like this, and I explained it. We went to some Bible verses, went through, explained it, and there were several of them that were just looking at me, and they were. And they said, "Really?" And then we looked at these Bible verses, and they said, "Oh, I guess I better stop doing that." These were the pastors, but the point is that if we're not spending time in God's Word, then we really don't know how to obey God. So we need to be spending time in the Word. It's so important. And another thing that I think is going to help us to finish well is to love others and seek to encourage them in whatever way that we can. It says in 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. And I have to tell you that on the mission field, one of the biggest problems is that missionaries hate each other. they just sometimes they just don't get along, and that's a very sad thing. But it says that we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. And in 1 John 3:18 it says, little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. And so if we really love people that don't know Christ, we're going to share the gospel with them because that's what they need. We're going to share the gospel with them. There's nothing more important than that gospel message that we